A small but important point. Thank you. Let's start again. We are here because we are Unitarian Universalists. And we are here because we love being Unitarian Universalists with you. Okay. This week, we are on a spiritual journey. We are on a spiritual journey into the heart of our beloved community. We are on a spiritual journey into the human heart. So we have taken off our sandals because we are standing on sacred ground. We are standing on sacred ground, the place where feelings are generated, feelings are created, feelings are crushed and sacked and dashed, and then through the human touch of care and compassion, human feelings are reborn, regenerated, renewed, and dreams come forth, born of human feelings. Perhaps this is why Yeats said, "If I had the heavens' embroidered claws, the blue, the dim, the dark claws of night and light and half-light, I would lay the claws under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. Tread softly, for you tread on my dreams." We tread softly this week because we have entered the human heart, the heart of our religious community as Unitarian Universalists and we Unitarian Universalists. On this journey, we now have spiritual power, the power of the human heart, the power of the breath of life, the power of the spirit of life, the power of breath itself. So now we have spiritual vision, the power to see beyond our own expectations. The power to see beyond our own beliefs. The power to see who's really present. Because we look deep into the human heart and see the person's feelings. So, we are practicing spiritual vision. The practice, the art of seeing beyond our own expectations, of seeing beyond our own beliefs, of peering into a human heart, and then bowing, because we are in the presence of the divine. So, now we will continue our practice of seeing beyond belief. Compliments of Warren Schmidt. So we'll start with film segment 2. Watch it carefully, because afterwards I'm going to ask you to tell me, who is Warren Schmidt? What have you seen beyond your own expectations and beyond the beliefs of Schmidt? What have you seen? We'll do this, and then we'll move on to clip three, and then we'll have time at the end to pull all of this together to talk about schmitten emotions. Oh, I mean bagged emotions. Okay, let's begin. Film clip two.
Dear Ndugu, my name is Warren R. Schmidt, and I am your new foster father. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. My older brother, Harry, lives in Roanoke, Virginia with his wife, Estelle. Harry lost a leg 2 years ago to diabetes. I am 66 years old and recently retired as assistant vice president and actuary at Woodman of the World Insurance Company. God damn it, if they didn't replace me with some kid who, all right, so maybe he's got a little theory under his belt and can plug a few numbers into a computer, but I could tell right off that he doesn't know a damn thing about genuine real-world risk assessment, or managing a department for that matter, cocky bastard. Six must sound pretty old to a young fella like yourself. The truth is, it sounds pretty old to me, too. Because when I look in the mirror and see the wrinkles around my eyes and the sagging skin on my neck and the hair in my ears and the veins on my ankles, I can't believe it's really me. When I was a kid, I used to think that maybe I was special, that somehow destiny had tapped me to be a great man. Not like Henry Ford or Walt Disney or somebody like that, but somebody, you know, semi-important. I got a degree in business and statistics and was planning to start my own business someday, build it up into a big corporation, watch it go public, you know, maybe make the Fortune 500. I was gonna be one of those guys you read about. But somehow, it just didn't work out that way. You've got to remember, I had a top-notch job at Woodman and a family to support. I couldn't exactly put their security at risk. Helen, that's my wife. She wouldn't have allowed it. But what about my family, you might ask? What about my wife and daughter? Don't they give me all the pride and satisfaction I could ever want? Helen and I have been married 42 years. Lately, every night, I find myself asking the same question. Who is this old woman who lives in my house? Why is it that every little thing she does irritates me? Like the way she gets the keys out of her purse long before we reach the car, and how she throws our money away on her ridiculous little collections. And tossing out perfectly good food just because the expiration date is past. And her obsession with trying new restaurants.
Seafood buffet. Let's go there Sunday.
And the way she cuts me off when I try to speak.
And she goes ahead and seats the people who came in behind us.
Well, the thing
which
that
normally, now, I wouldn't mind at all.
And I hate the way she sits and the way she smells. For years now, she has insisted that I sit when I urinate. My promise to lift the seat and wipe the rim and put the seat back down wasn't good enough for her. No. Then there's Jeannie. She's our only. I'll bet she'd like you. She gets a big kick out of different languages and cultures and so forth. She used to get by pretty good in German. She'll always be my little girl. She lives out in Denver, so we don't get to see her much anymore. Oh, sure, we stay in touch by phone every couple of weeks, and she comes out for the holidays sometimes, but not as often as we'd like. She has a position of some responsibility out there with a high-tech computer outfit, so it's very hard for her to break away. Recently, she got engaged, so I suppose we'll be seeing even less of her now. The fellow's name is Randall Herzl. He's got a sales job of some sort. Maybe Jeannie is a little past her prime, but I still think she could have done a heck of a lot better.
How you guys doing?
I mean, this guy's just not up to snuff, if you ask me. I mean, not for my little girl. I'll close now and get this in the mail. Here I am, rambling on, and you probably want to hurry on down, cash that check, and get yourself something to eat. So, take it easy, and best of luck with all your endeavors. Yours very truly, Warren Schmidt.
Going out to mail a letter. Do you need anything?
No. Don't dilly-dally.
And I have been doing some research reading on this. I actually looked at a couple pieces of video. And it just amazes me. The liberals and the media continue to now look for a dark lining here in a silver cloud. Have you noticed?
What can I get for you?
I'll have a blizzard with vanilla ice cream.
What would you like in it?
I'll have some Reese's Pieces and some cookie dough.
What size?
Medium.
Okay.
Helen? Helen? What's the matter? Helen?
Further, Warren, I wanted to just go over some of the expenses with you. What we do is we itemize all of our charges and break them down into different categories. For our professional services, our embalming, and other preparation of the bodies, those figures would total up to about $1,550. Then for the use of our facilities and equipment and staff for the visitation and the funeral service. In addition to that, we have some other expenses out of the cemetery. Our charges would total about $1,000. In addition to that, we also would have the caskets all total up to about $2,750. Finally, for the use of our automobiles and tools and services, $15 would be about $430. Any questions or anything about that?
What if I drive myself?
Well, we certainly.
And I want to tell you about anger. That anger's okay.
Text, and by text I mean something that you've seen or heard in the film. Who is Warren Schmidt?
He's someone who has no idea of how to communicate.
Text, please. And let's see, try to project.
Okay. When he was writing the letter, it was totally and completely inappropriate for a child of that age. The words were adult words.
Okay, good. More? Okay, so far can't communicate with kids. More? More?
Well, he's a man who hasn't yet liberated himself.
Speak toward the audience.
He gets freedom from his wife, who controls him, by leaving the house and having a few moments to himself, and he just buys a medium lizard.
Someone in the balcony? So he's not the guy whom his friend Ray described at the restaurant. Everything we've seen contradicts it.
He apparently has no community whatsoever because when he goes to the funeral home to deal with funeral arrangements, there's absolutely no one there to be with him for nothing.
Yeah, he starts to get someone who's emotions totally blotted out. I mean, he starts to write that letter, and as soon as he feels that he's communicating directly,
Warren Schmidt's my dad. My dad wouldn't write a letter. That's my dad.
Unfulfilled dreams. When he started off in life, he thought of being something big and great. Warren Schmidt. So I'm going to call him Warren and Dugu. Who is Warren and Dugu?
There was a change in the whole tone of the movie when he saw the picture of the wife. Warren was Dugu.
Okay. Who is Warren and Dugu? Give me some of the details of Warren and Dugu's life. As the boy who lives in Africa, what are some of the details of Warren and Dugu's life according to Warren Schmidt?
Warren and Dugu is an objection of Warren Schmidt because he writes, good luck on your endeavors, and I'm sure you want to get to the bank to cash your
Dear Ndugu, you'll be glad to know that Jeannie's wedding came off without a hitch. Right now, she and Randall are on their way to sunny Orlando. On my nickel, of course. As for me, I'm headed back to Omaha. I'm driving straight through this time, and I've made only one stop. The impressive new arch over the interstate at Kearney, Nebraska. An arch that commemorates the courage and determination of the pioneers who crossed the state on their way west.
I took an Indian bride myself.
You've really got to see it to believe it. And it kind of got me thinking. Looking at all that history and reflecting on the achievements of people long ago kind of put things into perspective. My trip to Denver, for instance, is so insignificant compared to the journeys that others have taken, the bravery that they've shown, the hardships they've endured. I know we're all pretty small in the big scheme of things, and I suppose the most you can hope for is to make some kind of difference. But what kind of difference have I made? What in the world is better because of me? When I was out in Denver, I tried to do the right thing, trying to convince Jeannie she was making a big mistake, but I failed. Now she's married to that nincompoop, and there's nothing I can do about it. I am weak. And I am a failure. There's just no getting around it. Relatively soon, I will die. Maybe in 20 years, maybe tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Once I am dead and everyone who knew me dies too, it'll be as though I never even existed. What difference has my life made to anyone? None that I can think of. None at all. Hope things are fine with you. Yours truly, Warren Schmidt.
Mr. Warren Schmidt, my name is Sister Nadine Gauthier of the Order of the Sisters of the Sacred Heart. I work in a small village near the town of Mbeya in Tanzania. One of the children I care for is little Ndugu Umbo, the boy you sponsor. Ndugu is a very intelligent boy and very loving. He is an orphan. Recently, he needed medical attention for an infection of the eye, but he's better now. He loves to eat melon, and he loves to paint. And Ndugu and I want you to know that he receives all of your letters. He hopes that you are happy in your life and healthy. He thinks of you every day, and he wants very much your happiness. And Ndugu is only 6 years old and cannot read or write, but he has made for you a painting. He hopes that you will like his painting. Yours sincerely, Sister Nadine Gauthier.
Let's go. Speak louder, please.
He could help someone. He was important. More. He wasn't a failure in his own terms. More. So why did he cry and then smile? Why did he smile? Okay. Okay, good. He can. Told me to speak up, and thus I'm trying to do that. It's hard to remember to do this, but we're all in community together, and we're here because we're Unitarian Universalists, and we love being together with you. So speak up. Let's continue.
He smiles because he feels cared for.
Ah. Okay.
I noticed that the person who the little boy in the picture is holding, same as holding, is wearing a skirt.
Wearing a what?
A skirt.
A skirt.
A woman.
Well, that's okay, because we have a doctrinally neutral zone here. Okay, go ahead. Louder, please. Go ahead.
Because he felt touched, the focus of the camera on the two hands connecting, his wife's hand had touched him on the wrist, but he was touching and they were both touching one another.
Okay.
Everyone
stand up, please, and to the back.
Everyone wants to be loved.
Stand up, please.
Everyone wants to be loved. And I think he finally felt loved.
Yes. Okay, picking up on this point, Warren and Dugu has disappeared, and who has shown up? Undugu Umba, another person. Warren has seen beyond his own expectations and met the little boy in his own terms. Okay.
Did that little boy have any happiness for him? Or did he have that he received all
So Ndugu had looked into Warren Schmidt's heart, his true feelings, and said to Warren, I think of you every day just as you are, and I love you. What are Schmitten emotions? Give me a definition here. What are Schmitten emotions? Your answer should begin with, a Schmitten emotion is, or Schmitten emotions are, let's go.
Rational.
I would like, we're going to build on this. What are Schmitten emotions? Schmitten emotions are, complete the entire sentence. Please stand. Schmitten emotions are, start. Schmitten emotions are joy and redemption. What are Schmitten emotions?
Schmitten emotions are suddenly overwhelming.
I think Schmitten's emotions are pessimistic. Maybe they will change, but I really think all through this he's been very pessimistic.
Okay, I'll give you my definition of Schmitten emotions. Schmitten emotions are bad emotions. Emotions that have been suppressed, denied, disappointed, such that they have had to go way underground so that they are a disappearing act. The Warren Schmidt who's presented to the public, to his community, is polite and kind, but that's not the real, that's not where the real, the core of himself lives. That's not where his feelings are displayed. So Schmitten emotions are hidden emotions, sacked emotions, broken emotions, repressed emotions, denied emotions, denied feelings. That's my definition. But they got awakened by what?
Love.
By being touched, by someone saying, there, there. Someone entering this broken heart and simply being present to say, I think of you every day just as you are. I do not love you because you're perfect. I love you because you are. Unconditional love. Unconditional love awakens deadened hearts, deadened feelings, unconditional love, an atmosphere of care and compassion. That's why we go and become part of a religious community, to have our feelings revived, to feel alive again, to be touched with compassion and care, and give that to the world. Okay, suppose that Warren is so touched and so moved, and now he has only Ndugu in his life, Ndugu Umba, not Ndugu Warren Ndugu. So he says, why don't I adopt this kid? So he starts the procedures as only Warren Schmidt could do. And a year later, Ndugu shows up at his doorstep. Maybe Warren's gone to Tanzania to get him, but shows up, right? And so Warren says, I seem to have changed a bit. And it's important for my kid to have a religious community. I guess I'm now what they call a seeker. I'm going to go congregation shopping. So he goes to a local Unitarian Universalist congregation. There are two endings to this story. Before I tell you the endings, I would like for someone to tell me why we're laughing. Five people, very quickly, because we've got to end this. Why did you laugh? Five people. Come on. Huh?
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh? Okay, what? Four more people.
Where else?
Huh?
Where else would he go?
Okay.
Lockie wounded with a child that needs to be rescued from her.
Okay. Huh? Okay, the laughter, come up, two more, go ahead,
He's lost, he knows he's unfulfilled in his life, he knows he needs something, but he doesn't know what he needs.
One more, why were we laughing?
We're laughing nervously because we know that these people walk in our doors every day.
Aha! Not that I was searching for that answer, I don't want you to think that. Okay, so there are two endings to this story. One, Warren becomes one of the five out of the seven persons who visit our congregations and do not return. Five out of seven persons who visit our congregations do not return. The other ending to the story is that he becomes one of the two persons who visits our congregation and returns. In the talk back session this afternoon, the persons who show up are going to become part of a group, and they're going to put on a skit. They're going to create a skit to play out these two different endings. And then several of these skits will be presented tomorrow to you. I'm not going to ask what that sound meant. It'll be interesting if no one shows up, isn't it? Won't it? And then we'll watch the presentations and then continue our conversation about bagged emotions, smitten emotions, and seeing beyond belief. Your task for today is to, one, note at least one smitten emotion, one bagged emotion, one desecrated emotion. Could be yours, could be something that you've just done to someone else, could be something that you witness. But your assignment is to find, to see, to become aware of at least one smitten, one bagged emotion today. First part. Second part, pause. That's our zone of freedom. Pause. Then, third, filled with the spiritual power, the enlivening care and compassion of our beloved community, given to you by the spirit of life of all of us being together, act. Do something. Perhaps all you can do is this, which is a lot. But do something that's appropriate, because you don't want to flood the person or yourself saying, wow, did you see? I just saw what happened to you. This is really horrible. Let's talk about it. I bet. We're not going to cross any boundaries here. We're not going to come back with boundary issue problems, right? But do something that's appropriate, that if you were in that situation, would be helpful. If it's simply just a, or something. And then everybody stand up. Stand up. After you've done it, even if it's not in public, what are you going to do? That's why I'm a Unitarian Universalist. Okay, see you tomorrow.